Well, good evening. Good evening. I think Christian did a great job leading worship. First time, 18 years old. You know what, man? He did a great job. I'm blessed. Well, let's get out our Bibles tonight and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. And man, it's time to man up. This is for you. And wives, it's not for nudging. Not for nudging him going, yeah, I'm looking at him. It's time to pray for him. Keep praying for him. I know my wife prays for me and she hasn't quit. I can't imagine what I'd be like if she didn't. 1 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to look at one verse tonight. So, ladies, you're going, that's not fair. Well, you listen and see what you think. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord, we are grateful for the privilege of gathering together. I thank you for the precious saints here tonight. Thank you for the men here. Lord, we are in need of just help, Lord. We are saved and we rejoice in the salvation that has been given to us as a gift because of your grace and the work in the cross. But Lord, we want to move on and grow and, Lord, live a life that demonstrates sanctification, Lord, that people can see, Lord, the way we live and the way we love what Jesus looks like. And so, God, I pray tonight as the leaders of their home, the men here, the husbands, the fathers, Lord, that you would just speak to each one of us tonight, Lord. And I pray for those that are single here, not married, that may be married one day, or, Lord, they will be sought out for counsel and to direct others, Lord, who may be married. Lord, that you would help us to apply your word. We need your truth in a world that has gone crazy. And Lord, we thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, God, in the chaos of the world presently in our culture, thank you, Lord, for the steadiness, that anchor that we have in your truth, in your word. So speak to us now, and Lord, give us ears to hear what your spirit would say to us. And I'm including me in that prayer. I need to grow as well. So speak to us in this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many of you have ever heard of J. Paul Getty? Raise your hand if you've heard of J. Paul Getty. A few of you. Some of you don't know him, but if you look it up on Google, if you Google J. Paul Getty, you're going to find him there. And he was one of the most famous businessmen who ever lived. He was born in 1892. He died in 1976. He was an American industrialist and the founder of the Getty Oil Company. Maybe you've heard of that. That can't be right, though. The dates can't be right, huh? I must have put it down wrong. He couldn't have been born in 1992. I must have transposed some numbers in 1976, because he can't. How old would he be if 1892 to 1976? Huh? Oh, only 84? Oh, that's possible. I might make it that far. Anyhow, he was a great businessman and one of the first men to ever amass a fortune worth $1 billion. I mean, he was a huge success. He achieved fame because of it. He achieved fortune and all this wealth. He was a winner when it came to the business world. He was esteemed highly and sought by many. But he was a bust in the most important place, and that was in his home among his family. J. Paul Getty said this, and I quote, "I hate and regret the failure of my marriages, I would gladly give all my millions for just one lasting marital success. Five marriages, five divorces. How sad to live your life as a billionaire and be such a hero of many who are businessmen and yet be a bust when it comes to your home, when it comes to your marriage, when it comes to your family. Men, we're going to look tonight at how you can avoid that. How you can have what he never had. We're going to look at how to be a hot, hunky, happening husband. Some of you wives are going, not my, he'll never make that. I mean, oh, God can do amazing things. He's a miracle working God. Now, I want to say this before we get into the scripture, guys, and don't tune me out, and don't sit there and fold your arms and think, oh, great, this is going to be a beatdown session for the men. I'm just going to get beat up, and my wife is going to be taking copious notes on all the things that I'm supposed to be doing and I'm not doing, and we'll get in a fight on the way home. Both of you need to put that away. We're all in need of the grace of God and the power of His Holy Spirit. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And this isn't designed to be a beat down session, but to be a message to build up the home, the family, to build men who are godly, who want to live a life that is bringing him glory. What we're going to do tonight, men, is we're going to, if you use football as an illustration, we're going to take the and go out on the field there where the game's played, and we're going to look down to the goalposts and see that's where we're headed, and we're going to look at the yard lines, we're going to look at the out of bounds lines, and we are going to huddle together here, and the captain, well, he's Jesus. Okay? And listen, as we huddle, we hear him calling the play. The purpose is, you see, to get the ball as a team down to the goalposts, we need to be pointed in the right direction. We need to know where we're going. So let me kick it off with the understanding that God wants to bless us, men, that he wants to strengthen us, that he wants to continue to work in your home. I don't care how bad things might be at this moment. He doesn't want to leave things that way. He wants your home to be a place that is filled with love and a passion for Jesus and a grace and a passion for one another. He wants there to be unity and harmony, you see, oneness and peace in the home. Here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, as I've already stated, we'll look at just one verse. And it is here, let's read. You husbands, likewise, stop there for a moment. Now remember, last week, it started off in verse 1, likewise, ye wives. Well, like what? Well, just as you're to submit to a boss and to, you know, be there, and even if he's a nice guy, even if he's not a nice guy, for the sake of the Lord, if you suffer for doing what's right, so be it. The example, of course, of suffering was Jesus Christ. So in the same way, men, we are to submit to Jesus Christ. And we are to submit, Ephesians chapter 5, to one another, you see, in Christ. So that submission is important, that we understand it's like you're to submit to those bosses who aren't the greatest bosses, to the government, to things that you don't agree with, you see. We are to submit for the purpose of bringing honor and glory to God. And so husbands, it's not a one-way street here. You need to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And you need to live, he says here in verse 7, with your wife in an understanding way as a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. How is it you can be the husband that God wants you to be? Well, there are some key requirements that we see here in our text that will impact your children, because listen, your children are watching. Man, your daughter is watching how you, as her father, treat your wife, and she is going to tend to look for a man just like you. Ooh, that puts a little edge on the responsibility, doesn't it? And the same for the ladies. You see, our desire should be to not only preach the gospel to our children, but the marriage relationship, it's to exemplify the gospel to our children. So what does he say here to us as men? He says, first of all, you need to dwell with your wife in an understanding way. The idea of dwell, well, that means you get the idea there that it's not just a flippant, hi, how are you, hun? See you. Hi, how are you, hun? See you later. The idea, when you think of dwelling, you think of spending time, don't you? This is not a fast food approach to a fabulous marriage. He says, men, I want you to do something really that on your own and in your own strength is absolutely impossible. What's that? To understand your wife fully. Not easy. You see, if you're going to do that, the initial thing is you have to take the time. That word understanding is a Greek word that is gnosis. It means knowledge. The King James puts it this way, likewise you husbands dwell with them according to knowledge. What's that mean? Men, that means you need to know and understand your wife. If you haven't noticed, if you've been married for any amount of time, if you haven't noticed yet, I'm putting you on notice. She is very different from you. I mean, she's not just slightly different. She is extremely, very different from you. Now, the scripture says that she's a weaker vessel. That means she's made different physically. She's weaker physically. If she's not, that may say more about you, man, than it does your wife. And, you know, we're seeing that today, of course, lived out in a perverse way of the Leah Thomas, the trans, you know, swimmer who's so proud, she, born a he, so is a he, but we call her a she, denying reality, which is where we live nationally presently. Forget the truth and the facts, just tell me what I want to hear. Who knew that Tell Me Lies, Sweet Little Lies by Fleetwood Mac would become the theme song in the national anthem? I mean, she is a he, and when you see a picture of what is proposed to be a she, guess what? He doesn't look like a she because he's not, period. And of course, when he, being a man with all the testosterone, his muscle mass, I mean, we're different physically. It's just the reality. I mean, the bench press champion of the world, the one who holds the record for bench pressing in the world, is most likely not a woman, right? I should have researched that to give you the name, but I didn't. The fastest man on earth right now is I think he's still there, Usain Bolt. If you put him up against a woman, guess what? He's faster. Why? Because he's built different physically. It happened in creation. When you read the Genesis account, God made them differently. The process was different, right? I mean, you didn't miss that in the reading of Genesis. When God made a man, what did he do? He took a bunch of dirt. That's what it says. And then he breathed life into it, and boom, there was a man. But it says, yes, he became a living soul, forming the man from the dust of the ground, but Eve, she was made of better stuff. He didn't take any dust to make the woman. So that's why men, we're a little dustier than the ladies. Where'd she come from? She was made from Adam's rib, right by his heart. We're made very, very different from the get-go. Adam was formed from dust. Eve was fashioned by God, taken from the man. The difference is evident in how they looked. I mean, you don't have to be Einstein to figure out a woman is made differently. Physically, and guess what? She is different. She is different in her thinking and approach to things frequently. She responds to things differently than a man does. You know, sometimes there are obvious differences, but then there are not so obvious differences. I mean, did you know that a woman's heart beats faster than a man in general? It's just the fact. A woman's metabolism is lower than a man's, which is why sometimes women get upset because a man can lose 10 pounds in 2 days, and a woman goes, I got to work, work, work to lose these pounds. The metabolism is lower. A man has 20% more red blood cells generally than a woman. The red blood cells are those which supply oxygen to the body. And thus, the man needs more because the muscle mass generally is larger. A woman in general will tire more easily than a man unless they're at the mall, and then men get tired out much more easily than the woman. It's a weird phenomenon. Women have 4 times as many brain cells connecting the right and the left side of the brain. Women, you can think on both sides of your brain. A man typically, generally thinks primarily on the left side of his brain, which is the side of logic and reason. A woman thinks on the left side of her brain, and on the logic and reason side, but she goes back and forth, which brings more emotion into the situation. And a woman, because she can think on the left side and the right side, well, she thinks about things in her life constantly. A woman's thinking is like one big room. Her mind is one big room. She sees everything. A woman can be sitting here tonight. You can be here listening to this message. But what you see on the screen in your mind is the way the house was left. And right now, it's bugging you. And you're trying to push it out, but it's there. You can see the pile of laundry when you're out and about. Your kids are at school. You see them there, and you think about what you put in their lunch, and you wonder if you forgot this or forgot that. You are thinking about what you're going to make for dinner. You are, sometimes you're busy running around and you forget. And you start thinking, did I leave this out? Did I open that? Did I turn off the oven? And you just, it's always going on. A guy, on the other hand, we're kind of like laser beam thinkers. We just focus on one thing at a time. Now, I know there are exceptions to that, but generally, that's the case. We kind of handle things in order. A woman, on the other hand, thinks like radar. Beep, 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 beep. It's just, you know, it's always going on. So they're different. She communicates as a result very differently from us as men. So different that when a woman says things like, when she says things, she doesn't always mean exactly what she said. And as a result, we read, live with your wives according to understanding, according to knowledge. You have to read between the lines sometimes when you're talking to your wife. I mean, that's just the reality. When she says things like, do I look fat? The best thing to do is pretend you didn't hear it. Or you can take, one guy said, well, fat's a relative term. I've seen fatter. That's not a good thing to say, man, just in case you're taking note. But when she says that, many times she's really saying, I feel horrible about myself, so please tell me that I still am attractive to you and that you love me and that I'm beautiful. So you could say something, well, hey, honey, you know what? I never liked those skinny girls anyhow. No, that's not what you do either. She says to you, perhaps at the dinner table, after she's made a great meal, you're enjoying the dessert, and she says out of nowhere, honey, how much do you love me? What does that mean? Well, that can mean I did something today that you're not going to be too happy about. I got some bad news to tell you, and that may be the case. Or if she says, you know, this kitchen is so inconvenient, what does that mean? What that means is remodel it or I need a new house. When you ask her if she's upset and she goes, no, I'm not upset, you know what that means? Of course I'm upset. Are you a moron? What's the matter with you? Are you that insensitive? You see, they speak a little different. They're not straightforward many times. So understanding your wife is going to take some effort. It's going to take some time. You need to be willing to put forth that effort to check into the school of study when it comes to your wife. I mean, the reality is, men, we know that if you're going to get good at anything, you know, if you are LeBron James, if you're going to get good, you see, at basketball, if you're going to get good at tennis, any sport, guess what it takes? It takes practice. It takes time. It takes effort. If you're going to, you know what's going on with your computer, it takes time. And doesn't it frustrate you when they, you know what, I'm used to using this way. And then suddenly the upgrade comes and you're all excited. You get the upgrade, you go, that's stupid. Why'd they put this here? It was always there. It was better there. And you got to learn a whole new kind of way to move about. And suddenly, you know, it takes some time. You can't just go, I'll never understand it. Shut the stupid thing off. Throw the computer out the door. I mean, yeah, it's going to take some effort. You have to learn. You have to listen. You have to look. You have to pay attention. How much time are you willing to give to understand how your wife thinks, to be sensitive to how she feels, to kind of focus in and with prayer and seeking the Lord and in love with patience and kindness and understanding and sometimes long suffering, be willing to stay at it. You see, that's not an easy task. It doesn't come naturally. You have to spend time if we're going to understand them, listening to them. And ladies, that means you have to talk, okay? That's part of your thing. If you don't like something we're doing, you know what? And you just ignore it until you get mad one day at it and blow up. I mean, we need to know, you know, how you're thinking and what you're thinking. And then, men, we need to listen to what they're thinking. There's a man in the Bible who understood women. His name, Solomon. He spent a lot of time with women. God speaks through him. And he was one that wrote a lot of the Proverbs. Talks about the danger, talks about the stranger when it comes to a woman, and not to give yourself to that, but to be faithful to your wife, to commend her beauty. It takes time. Then secondly, you need not only to take time to understand her, but to love and care for her. Again, the scripture says she's a weaker vessel, so she needs your care. I want you to note, it doesn't mean lesser. It doesn't mean a lesser vessel, as you see at the end of this passage. It doesn't mean she's inferior. It's just that she's made differently. It's the difference. The idea is that of, you know what, a guy is like, you know, a plastic tumbler or a metal, you know, Yeti. You can bang it around and just, you know, and it still hangs in there. It's no big deal. You know, it makes it, it's tough. A woman, on the other hand, is beautiful, sensitive, like a beautiful crystal glass or goblet. And it just, you know what? It's a thing of beauty, and you need to treat it differently than you treat your Yeti. You see, it's precious. It's pricey. Take care of it. That's what the idea is here. Someone has said a man is kind of like a buffalo and a woman like a butterfly. They're very different, a butterfly and a buffalo. I mean, the butterfly is beautiful. It's exquisite. It's finely sculpted, a monarch butterfly. I mean, I read the other day they're going to be extinct if we don't do something about it. But they are beautiful. Have you ever seen a monarch butterfly? If you haven't, go on Google and find a picture. They're just gorgeous insects. A buffalo? Well, not so much. You see, in a buffalo, well, he can handle a 30-mile-an-hour wind. A monarch butterfly, danger zone. You see, they're two different things, and so they need to be treated differently. You're to care for your wife. You're to protect your wife. As the stronger one, you're to provide for your wife. You're to give her honor and to love her. You see, love shows honor. Ephesians chapter 5 is a great chapter about husbands and wives. There are 12 verses about the marriage relationship in Ephesians 5. And in those 12 verses, really the first few verses are about a wife, and then it starts in on the husband. And there are 9 verses just about the husband. And listen, you can read it for your homework. In those 9 verses about the husband, 3 times in those 9 verses, he tells us to love our wife. Love your wife, the example, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Love your wife as your own body. Love your wife as you love yourself. Now listen, if God says something 3 times in a few verses, guess what? That's worth paying attention to. You need to agape her. You need to love her. She needs to feel loved. That's the idea. Question, does your wife feel loved by you? Does she feel cared for by you? Does she sense that love? Is it communicated in real ways on a regular basis? Men, just as really the greatest need that Ephesians calls out for wives in the way they deal with their husbands, it says that a wife is to respect her husband. But in the same way, it says a husband is to love his wife. Why does God say that? Because respect is one of the great needs that a man has, to be respected. And a woman has a great need to be loved. Your wife is a responder. She responds to our love. And so as a woman respects her husband, a man, you see, the husband is to love the wife, and things will go great. That honor, the word for honor speaks there in the 7th verse of 1 Peter 3. It means to value or to count as precious. I wonder if the people that you are friends with, I wonder the people that live in your home, your children, when they see the way you talk to your wife, the way you refer to your wife and talk about your wife, is it honorable? Is she shown honor? Would others look as well as herself and say, wow, he really thinks highly of his wife. He really values her. You can tell she's precious to him. So often, men, we don't grant her honor. What we do is take her for granted. And Peter is saying here, that's something as, and remember, Peter, again, as I shared last week, was a married man. He was talking from under the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but from what he as well was learning and growing in. You see, does your wife feel honored? Do you talk favorably about her in the company of others? Do you talk favorably about her in your home? Or do you, and that's not just talk, body communication, rolling your eyes at your mom, you know, at your wife rather, and at their your child's mom, you know, I mean, rolling your eyes, or that woman, I mean. Again, the goal. I haven't arrived. I'm doing better. But men, this is the goal that we, like Paul said, we must press towards the mark. Yes, it's a high calling, but it's a calling that can be accomplished, and it can only be accomplished through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit as you submit and yield to Him. You see, you do it by talking sweetly, respectfully, lovingly, graciously to your wife. I'll tell you what, women frequently see with their ears. They fall in love with their ears. What do I mean by that? What I mean is, I'm not saying she isn't attracted to looking at you physically, okay? But listen, that's not the primary thing, typically. Which is why, and explains something to me, because from time to time, I'll see this great-looking gal, and I see the husband, and I go, how did she, why would, he's ugly. I mean, he's homely. What's she doing with him? Ah, she sees with her ears. You see, he listens to her. He cares for her. He's there and wants to understand her, gives her the attention that a woman longs for. A woman struggles, man. I mean, she's insecure many times. And so she needs to be one who, when she says things like, as she stands in front of the mirror, when she says things like, I look so fat. And then she doesn't like the way she looks in that outfit. She goes into her closet with all her outfits in there, and she puts another one on. She comes out, oh, I'm so fat, I don't even want to go, or I need new clothes. She's got a closet full of clothes, twice as many as men ever had, but she's putting them all on, and I look horrible in everything. I just feel so gross. That's when we come in, man. And we tell her she's beautiful and that we love her and that she looks great in that outfit. You see, and I mean, because here's the thing that I learned in the younger years. Every 28 days, things happened in their bodies. You know, you talk about men and women being different, and there's a huge difference because every 28 days they can get a little cranky. We have a special name for it. It's called PMS. Why do they call it PMS? because mad cow disease was already taken. No, but they have this cycle. And you know what? They get into a thing, and it's hormonal. It's not just psychological. It's actually hormonal. And men, we will never experience that ourselves. So the only way that we can be helpful when that happens is to listen. And then to deal with it in a kind, gentle, caring, encouraging, loving way, not what's wrong with you? You must be PMSing. Don't mention it. I learned that early. If you sense, best thing to do is, you know, thank God now for cell phones and everything that you have a privilege that I didn't have. You know, you could put that 28-day mark on the cell phone and know the week ahead, you know, and the week after what you're dealing with. But a wise man does that. You see, we need to let them know and make them feel special. So much care and honor associated with just listening attentively. I mean really listening. I mean, I know this is radical for some of you younger folks. I mean, the kind of listening that both of you put your stinking phones down, you shut off the television, you put down any reading materials, and you just say, hey, I love you, and you tune in and you listen. You spend time. Oh, the phone's going off. Shut it off. There's a button on the side of that interrupter that you can push, and it will actually shut down. Does so reluctantly sometimes, but it'll shut down. And you can tune in with those that are deserving your attention. You see, and don't misunderstand, I'm not saying phone calls don't deserve your attention, but we are so distracted and so frequently in the restaurants. Isn't it true? I mean, I've even struggled with it from time to time. You know, we go out on a date, and what happens? He's looking at his phone, she's looking at her phone. You know, there was a day when that was never a problem. It'd be do us well, and I think it would help the health of our marriages to have at least some times, and I say times plural, where we sit down, TV off, you know, cell phone off, computer off, and just spend some time together, just talking to one another. How you feeling? You know, that's the thing that's different for ladies too. I mean, guys, we don't usually talk. I can't remember if I've ever gone up to a guy and say, so how do you feel about this? My how you're feeling is, are you sick? Are you healthy? Are muscles sore? Are you, you know, what's the doctor? What's the new pill? Especially at my age, what's the new pill you're on? You know, your stomach's, you know, hurting, arthritis kicking in, you know, but when's the last time we say, hey, how do you feel emotionally? How do you feel? Because we all have feelings, don't we? I'm not talking to a crowd where we all have checked out and we're, robots, no feelings. That guy got run over, too bad for him, you know. Where we have compassion, we have care, we have feeling for one another. I mean, we talk about how we feel. Girls do that. Guys, we need help in that area. And so we need, and that's why God has given us a wife, not to compete, but to complete us. We have a weakness there. And so we tend with the kids, oh, shut up, get up, let's get moving. Or hey,
Your teenage daughter comes home brokenhearted because some guy dumped her and broke her heart. Hey, there's plenty of fish in the sea. Oh, that's always comforting. I mean, it's so connecting. And she's really going to come to you anytime she's hurting when you start down that road. You know what? You got a broken heart. I can remember times where I went through that. That girl dumped me or that guy rejected, you know. We need to talk. We need to communicate with each other. Listening, really paying attention. When you listen to her, guys, there's a big difference between men and women. We tend, when we hear, we listen, okay, and she shares some kind of a problem or a situation with us. You see, when we listen, we tend to listen with, okay, I got to fix this. Got to fix it. She's got a problem. I need to fix it. So she shares how she's feeling about something with you. Well, that's a problem. Let me fix it. There's a scripture here, you know, or let me, whoever's hurt you, come, bring him in here. I'll take him on. And that's not what she needs. That's not what she's looking for. I mean, it's true. Most of us as men, when there's a problem, we immediately think, we go into the fix-it mode. And she's sharing her feelings. She doesn't want you to fix it. She wants you to give her a hug and feel what she's feeling and try and just trying to relate and connect. And honey, I'm sorry. I love you. That is tough. That's got to be a tough thing. I don't fully understand, but I want to. You see, and not just move into,
okay, let's mow over the feelings and just get down to the nitty-gritty here.
A lot of times I just remember one time, and for those of you that have been around, bear with me, I'm gonna share it again, that you know, my wife was sharing somebody had hurt her and been mean to her, and you know, a pastor's wife, and so I go into the defensive mode. Well, that person, you know what? I'm going to call them. I'm going to, and she goes, you know what? I don't need counseling. You know, I was counseling her. She says, you know what? I just need a hug. Will you just hug me? And I mean, that was as frank as like, that's what I need sometimes. Being it. You guys think you got a lousy husband, ladies. This guy's, he's the chief of sinners. She just needed a hug. She just needed to be listened to. She just needed you to enter into and try and experience what she's feeling. And once you listen and then a lot of times I found you just pray with her and just give her a hug. I mean, that's all she needed. That's what she was looking for. She's just having a tough day. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says, he who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. There in Ephesians, God's calling us as husbands to nourish and to cherish our wives. The word nourish means to feed her, to build her up. To cherish means to warm her or hold her close. And when a woman is nourished and cherished, when she feels loved and listened to and cared for, she starts to flourish and grow. She responds to that, you see. And she responds physically and in other ways. Man came up to the great Bible teacher, Howie Hendricks. He came up one day after he was finished sharing in a Bible conference, and the man was so upset with Howie, he said, Well, I have a wife and she's just terrible. She doesn't do this right. She doesn't do that right. She never gives me any respect. And the man was just going off on his wife. And how he said, well, boy, sounds like a terrible wife. Was she like that when you married her? The man said, well, no, she wasn't like that when I married her. How he said, then, well, you made her that way. You know what, men? Good thing to do. When your wife is doing something you don't like and responding in a way you don't like, check and see if it isn't you that taught her to respond that way. Howie said, a man who treats his wife like a thoroughbred never ends up with an old nag. So I need to treat her and value her and treasure her and listen to her opinions without cutting them off, listen to her feelings without saying with an idea that's stupid, that's a dumb thing. You need to hear what she has to say and do so while praying many times. Value her, treasure her, listen to her. Take time and attempt to understand. And when you don't understand, say, you know, I don't understand. Help me a little bit and ask some questions to help you understand. The fact that you're interested in understanding her is showing her that you love her and cherish her and that you care about her being nourished and built up and blessed. And then make sure you lead your wife. She is a fellow heir. That's a Freudian slip, if you would. But she's a fellow heir of the grace of life. She's your equal because she's a co-heir with you. And listen, man, you are not better than she is. God has called you, husband, to be the leader and the head coach of your family. You're not better. You just have a different part in a position to play. He has chosen to be the man, not because we have it together, to be the head, rather, not because we have it together. In fact, I'm convinced there's a scripture that says God uses the foolish things to confound the wise. I'm convinced that God says, okay, I'm going to make the man the leader here. And the wise, the woman, will go, why him? Yeah, because you need to learn to trust me and look to me. Listen, we are to be the head in our homes, man, but we are not to be dictators in our homes. We're to be the coach, if you would, to encourage. And she, your wife, is to be the assistant coach. A good head coach will always listen to the assistant coach. And if he's smart, they will make decisions together. You see, when the team starts sputtering and things aren't going well, the owner gets concerned many times and he sits down with a head coach and he calls the head coach and wants to know from the head coach what's going on with the team. He doesn't talk to the assistant coach. He goes right to the head guy because the buck stops there ultimately. He's the one that is to be responsible to make sure that team is functioning properly. So men, guess what? Yes, your wife is to submit to you as unto the Lord. But if things aren't going well, guess where the hammer falls? It's us. It's you. You see, you are to be one who encourages your wife, who takes care of your wife. And the success or the failure of the home It depends on the leadership. How are you leading? Are you a loving leader? Are you a gracious leader? Are you tender-hearted as a leader? It doesn't mean you have to be a wimp. You see, but it does mean that you have to show the way as you seek to submit your own life to Jesus Christ and live, you see, for his honor and glory, and with a desire to lovingly, graciously lead for and be there for and to care for your family. That's God's intention. That's God's plan. And you both should want to hear on that day when we come before the Lord into heaven, "Well done, thou good and faithful servants." You take the word of God, and by the Spirit of God, you accomplish the work of God. And you don't quit. It ain't over until it's over. The goal, man, not an easy ride. You're going to get hit on the way down the field. There's an enemy that wants to push you out of bounds and away from the word of God and the truth of God's word, to get you out of the bounds, to take the focus off the goal. You see, we can't afford, if we're gonna win, to let that focus go. We've got to be a team. We're together in this. And you know what? We need to be doggedly determined by the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit to finish and to finish well, to get that ball down there and to not give up until we reach the goal. And that goal is that day that we are called home to be with Jesus Christ, and we don't quit. We don't just sit around and do nothing. You can't get the ball down the field if you're whining and complaining about everything. You can't get the ball down the field if you wish you had a different teammate. And listen, God's put you together as a team. He's called you here at this time, in this place, in this location, in this church, in this season, and you see, in this day, and this society and culture in which we are living, to be lights to shine in the darkness. To be those who, because they look at the way the husband loves and cares for and cherishes and nurtures his wife, will see what the love of Jesus looks like for his bride. And then as they see the way the wife submits and reverences and respects and prizes her husband and adores him, they see the way the church loves Jesus. It's an evangelistic picture. So is it any surprise that Satan would attack it increasingly? Because he wants to mar the picture. He wants to do it for your children. He wants to do it to your neighbors. He wants to do it to your friends. It's no wonder that your marriage is being assaulted. But listen, you can win. In fact, you've already won. You can avoid a lot of unnecessary pain, though, and problems if you pay attention to the one who gives direction. Hey, we huddle, we listen to the team captain, Jesus, and we do, even when it doesn't make sense. Hey, run this play. Oh, Lord, how's that going to work? Don't listen. If the guys go out there, if on the football field they huddle, and you know, you've seen it, they take too much time in the huddle, there's a penalty for that. Too much time. What do you think? Okay, the captain doesn't go out there and go, okay, we're going to take a vote. What play do you think we should run? Let's go around the horn and see what play you think we should run. That team is going to be penalized frequently, And there's going to be a problem, you see. And confusion ensues because I thought you said we were running this play. No, don't you remember? We said that we were running this play because he suggested that we do it this way. And then this other guy said, well, but I thought the last person that said something. That, you see the confusion and the chaos that results? That's what the world is doing in marriage. That's why it's such a mess. Now, one captain is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he's given us clear instruction. So men, it's time to stand and stay at it. We're in it to win it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word and for the work of your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. And I pray for us as men. God, that you would help us to be the men that are strong, the men that are their protectors and providers, but also, Lord, the men that are kind, the men that are tender-hearted, men who are gentle, who are those who lead not out of legislation and rules, but lead by example and love. God, I pray that you would help us to be the husbands. I pray for myself that you would help me to be the husband that you desire me to be. Lord, that as my children look on, as my grandchildren look on, that they could see the love of Christ, that they could see that example in their father and in their mother. Of a godly man and a godly woman and a godly marriage. And Lord, one that is not without problems, but when we had them, we dealt with them in a way that brings honor and glory to your name. God, we cannot do this by ourselves. We need the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit. So fill us afresh with that. Help us, Lord, to take seriously the calling that you've placed on our lives to be men who are leading their homes in a godly way. God, we need your help. And Lord, I pray that the wives here would be in a posture of prayer for their husbands, that we might be the leaders and the lovers that you've designed and desire. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.